Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. We have some wonderful guests on. We have a new gentleman, too, named John, who's also had experience with Sasquatch, and we'll be going. They're all in beautiful Ontario, Canada. We'll be going to them in just a few minutes. But before we do, I wanted to tell you again that on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, with some of the world's best psychics, UFO people, and healers. If you register for the conference before December 31st, the cost will be only $147. And after January 1st, the cost will be $197. Also, I wanted to tell you, if you're poor or broke and can't afford the admission, the first day, Friday, on March 9th, is free, so come on down anyway. For more information, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339, and I hope you can all come. Also, I wanted to say that I need some help with the conference. In addition to, for your help, I'd be happy to give you free admission and free readings, psychic readings, too. I need help with marketing, answering emails, a little help with the website. If you can help, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell you also a couple of upcoming events. Tomorrow at the Last Word Books at 111 Cherry Street in beautiful Olympia, Washington, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., I'll be giving a presentation on my new book, Messages from the Masters, and also have books available. Then on Saturday, January 13th, I'll be at the Crystal Void Spiritual Center in Tacoma from 2 to 4 giving a presentation. Then on Saturday, January 20th, I'll also be sponsoring a wonderful psychic fair called the second. It'll be my second annual Cosmic Awareness Fair in Olympia. There will be over 25 different vendors ranging from psychic readers, crystal shops, bookstores, astrologists, and all kinds of spiritual people. The admission is free. There'll also be a series of free lectures throughout the day, including myself. And Michiko Hayashi will also be giving a presentation on the Emoto Peace Project, which teaches little children between the ages of 3 and 12 the valuable lessons of love and gratitude. And I hope you can come. It's a free event. My new book, also called Messages from the Masters, has been published. And if you'd like an autographed copy for $20, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. I wrote the book at the request of my great spirit friends, and it contains messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Dr. Masaru Emoto, Nikolai Tesla, the Galactic Alliance, and among others. With that, I'd like to say that before we go to Mike, John, and Leanne, I have a message today from President Kennedy, and it concerns the Federal Communications Commission down here in the U.S. And last week, 2 days ago, the FCC decided to give Verizon and Comcast, two private corporations, complete control over the speed of the Internet and what sites they can block. With this new power, they will be able to block any website that they deem to be offensive or against their corporate interests. I don't know what planet the FCC is from, but it's certainly not a democratic planet, and it goes against the wishes of most Americans. I meditated about it last night, and President Kennedy came through. I talked to him frequently. And he said it's a very dangerous precedent for our democracy and free speech. I wrote down this message from him verbatim, which I'm going to read now. Quote, this is directly from President Kennedy. My fellow Americans, I address you today as your president because I never stopped being your president even when I was murdered on November 22, 1963. Here on the other side in the fifth dimension, there is no time, so I can see into the future as well as the past and the present. When the Federal Communications Commission decided to give Comcast and Verizon total control over the Internet in the United States yesterday, that was on Thursday, they took away your freedom of speech, which is guaranteed by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. This is because Comcast and Verizon will now determine the content and the access to any website, not you and me. The American people are now under the tyranny of a board of directors of two corporations who are not elected and who care little about democracy. It'll be they and not us who will now determine the content of the Internet here in the United States because they will be able to block any Internet sites which they deem offensive or contrary to their corporate interests. President Kennedy says, quote, this is nothing more than a dismantling of the First Amendment and the freedom of speech here in this great country. People don't realize this, but in East Germany during the Cold War, East Germany had the same Bill of Rights that we have here in the United States, but it was worthless because the government had taken away all the freedoms of the people. And this is exactly what he says now is happening with the FCC and its chairman, Anjit Pai. I am still very much on the other side, he says, and I urge all Americans to fight this tyrannical decision by the FCC. He says it is illegal, it is unconstitutional, it takes away our First Amendment rights, and Anjit Pai, the director, and the FCC must be stopped. This is not the policy of a democratic government. This is a ruling of a tyrannical, corrupt government that does not care about its citizens anymore. I urge you to, he says, I urge you to stand up not only to the FCC, but also to Verizon and Comcast, because they are destroying free speech and democracy in this great country. We Americans deserve better. Finally, he said for me to say, if you love this country, if you care about freedom, and if you care about freedom of speech in the U.S. Constitution, then you will rise up and stand up against Anjit Pai, the director of the FCC, and the tyrants at the FCC and Verizon and Comcast. He's urging everyone to contact Mr. Pai at his email. I'll give it to you now. It's A as in Apple, J-I-T, period, P as in Paul, A-I, at FCC.com. That's AJIT.PAI@FCC.gov. Or you can call them toll-free at 1-888-CALL-FCC. That's 1-888-CALL-FCC or 1-888-225-5322. And he says that this decision will not only affect the United States but also the world. So he's asked me to play two excerpts from his following speeches to illustrate. The first one is from a speech he made in Berlin during the Cold War, where he says, Ich bin ein Berliner. Eric, could you please play those segment, please? I'll let Eric get that. I just sent it to him a little while ago.
All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
And President Kennedy asked me to play this because, like I said, he said that the FCC decisions not only affects the United States, but also the rights and liberties of all free peoples around this great planet. Because the United States is a large market, he says, what happens here will affect other countries and other peoples elsewhere. Finally, he asked me to play this last segment from his Ask Not speech.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
I'm sure we'll be hearing more about the FCC in the coming months. Thank you all for listening today for this message from our great president. And with that, I'd like to bring in John, Leanne, and Mike back to Sasquatch, to something really, truly out of this world. John, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Ted, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Could you summarize in 10 words or less your background with Sasquatch, please? I'm just joking about that.
Go ahead. Yes, first of all, is I had no clue of any of this reality. I mean, I had, as a kid, previously watched Harry and the Hendersons and heard of the Yeti, but I'm a sales guy. I work for a multinational company, and I'm an avid outdoorsman. And I had my first experience in 2012 on a solo camping trip, and again, I had no clue of the reality of all this. So it's been quite the journey, Ted. And Mike and Leanne can attest to that as well.
John, I'll give you another 25 words. What happened on that camping trip?
Oh, goodness. So
I'll have more than 25. Go ahead.
You got it. So, I mean, just to give you, I guess, an executive summary here, I went up north of Algonquin Park. I was up solo. Well, when I say solo, I was with my very protective Chinese Shar-Pei named Elvis. So it was just me and him up for a week. And, you know, I pull up to a campsite, and I have this overwhelming feeling of being stared at. And I mean, guys, I'm in the middle of nowhere here. I have no cell reception. There is nobody around me, but this overwhelming feeling of being stared at. And that night, first night, I have these extremely heavy bipedal footsteps around my tent, and just got me thinking. Next night, same thing, feeling of being stared at. And then as soon as I go into my tent at night, I have these big, heavy steps just around my tent, like someone was messing with me. And then the third day, I wake up and I'm like, geez, I guess I'm still alive. I don't know what's going on here. And you have everything going through your head.
Mm-hmm.
Third day, I decided to go out for a fish. And Elvis didn't want to come with me, so I left him at the campsite. He was really good like that.
Was he playing music back at the campsite, or did he have an engagement he had to go to?
Yeah, he was. He just wanted to hang out at the campsite.
Okay.
So I went off in the canoe fishing for 2 hours, and I came back.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, Elvis literally ran down to the shore to me, and his hair on his back was just standing up on end. Like he was he had seen something that completely spooked him.
Mm-hmm.
So I come up to the campsite, and I'm like, oh, Elvis, are you okay, little buddy? And, I go up, and I notice my bag that I had hung on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
The zipper compartment was open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very methodical with my stuff. I mean, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm by myself. I take a lot of pride in making sure my gear stays intact.
Mm-hmm.
And I go over to my bag, and I look inside, and I see a woven stem of a plant woven into a circle, very similar to Mr. Patterson's weaves.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, I mean, I was looking around like, who's messing with me? What mm-hmm. is going on here?
Sure.
And it started from there.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. Before I get too long into the second hour, there's probably a lot of people out there listening today who've had experiences with Sasquatch. And I don't want to bring on anybody now, but would you all be interested in taking some phone calls maybe in about 15, 20 minutes or so?
Absolutely.
If there's time.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well,
sure.
I want to wait just a few minutes, friends, and I'll give out the numbers. But that's amazing. That's amazing. Have you had any experiences since that time, John?
Ted, this has been ongoing since 2012. So this is 5 years for me. I guess I had my fifth year anniversary in September this year. And they've progressed, honestly, absolutely beyond my imagination. I had, again, no idea of any of this. And just as Mike has mentioned before, when you start realizing that they might be out there, you go through the full gamut of emotions and thoughts. You know, could it be mm-hmm. a relic hominoid or Neanderthal still running around out there, and
sure.
et cetera, et cetera. So, but very soon afterwards, I started receiving some really interesting dreams
mm-hmm.
While out in the woods and also while at home.
Mm-hmm.
Just taking basically a walkabout with a very large, not hairy, First Nations man. And he's pointing out, you know, everything is one and alive, and the plants and the trees and the stars. And,
wow.
Oh, and it's just gone from there. So long story short, I've now, as of a couple of years ago, started receiving waking visions from them.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm getting ready to go out into the bush, I literally will get a calling from them. I close my eyes, and it's like being immersed in this unbelievable dream world, I guess. But I'm awake. I just have my eyes closed.
Wow. Amazing.
So they've shared some messages with me, mainly about our souls and the spirit and everything.
Oh, really?
And our hearts and how to connect with it.
Oh, tell
me. I've been shown
tell us more.
Shown methods of breath. So I had one of these big fellows come to me the other month and told me, you figured it out. You know our secret. You know how we do what we do. And he said, it's because of our breath. We breathe. We mm-hmm. breathe this light into us, and we build it.
Mm-hmm.
And we connect our earth body, as they call it, to our light body.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it's still very hard to come to terms with, but I can't deny it. And this is the first time for me speaking publicly about
wonderful.
Other than sharing it with some very close friends and mm-hmm. And family. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're only in over 70 countries, so don't worry. There's just a few of us.
It's all good. Hey, I make the step somewhere. And just for your reference, Ted, mm-hmm. before I knew I was going to be on the show, mm-hmm. The night before I was meditating, and I heard in my head so clearly, get ready. And then guess what? Mike Patterson calls me the next day after saying, hey, do you want to be on the show?
How funny. Well,
I've been saying that to John over and over the past couple of days. Hey,
well, I'm going to be doing a television segment for my Out of This World TV on January 13th, and maybe you guys like to join Mike too then. I don't know, but
I'd love to. It'd
absolutely.
Be a pleasure and an honor.
Okay, great. We'll just plan
absolutely.
Having all you three of you on. We'll do maybe yeah. 30 minutes or whatever. But I want to go jump to Leanne and then to John and then into you, Mike, quickly. But Leanne, you were I asked you about structures before, like rock structures, and I've seen Sasquatch structures here in Washington and in Japan as well. It's where like yeah. they have a pyramid of rocks, and they're very carefully balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in Japan, I saw one once up around in some forests outside Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
and the friends I was with, they said, oh, those are just kids. And I said, I don't think they're kids making those kinds of structures. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've been told, and I've seen the same structures here in Cascade Mountains of Washington, too, is that those are actually boundary markers that the Sasquatch use, saying, hey, this is my territory. You're coming into my territory now. So this is just let you know. So I'd love to know what you all three know about that.
Yes, well, that is certainly one theory as to why they are showing up on the outskirts of urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of other ideas that people talk about, and we the three of us talk about, and I love the fact that nobody really knows.
Mm-hmm.
But something that keeps coming back to my soul is that they are building these stick formations near where people live. In order to help wake us up, it's to help help us ask, like, stop on our walk,
sure.
get away from our phones for a second, stop thinking,
yeah.
right, and stop and look and ask the question, who built that? And simply asking that question alone can have long-term, consequences and effects and conversations with people who, you may not realize at the time, but it can be an awakening moment that in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take it further and start to look them up, it can really be the beginning of an awakening. My experience has been that although I've done some deep forest exploration with Mike and other places, the more complicated, larger structures that I'm finding are closer to where people live, mm-hmm. and so. That just begs the question: Why are they building closer to humans?
Mm-hmm.
And near some of these structures, which correlate with what Mike has been picking up for many years. I don't have the vocals Mike has picked up, but I have a lot of the lead ups to the vocals that Mike has accumulated over the years, and so that's been a real. Touchstone for me and for my research that, there's something very real happening and around these structures that are built.
Oh, yeah. Leanne, I'm sorry to interrupt, my friend, but, the problem I'm having with interviewing all three of you is that you're all three so interesting, and I almost forgot about the audios, and pretty soon the hour's going to end and we won't have time, so... I'd like to go, if you don't mind, I want to play a couple of these audios. Let's go ahead and play, Eric, if we can. Let's play the first one, June 28, 2013. And then, Mike, you can explain that a little bit. I want to get through these audios now while we still have time.
Again, man, where are you? Who is you?
My goodness, Mike, what was he saying? You know?
June 28th was a hell of a visit, I tell you that. Jeez, the vocals, that came from that. There's another one there too, June 28th, First Flower. He just, he was just being very vocal and he has a lot of emotion in his voice. And, he's just reaching out to me. I'm in my tent and he's yelling out.
Say, hey, how you doing, Mike?
Had a lot of that going back and forth.
Okay, well, let's Eric, let's go ahead and play June 28th, First Flower.
Where are you? Mike, how are you?
My goodness, he said your name.
He did that quite often, actually, but that was the very first time he tried to say flower, and he really couldn't control his voice. And,
oh, wow, amazing.
Because he was using these little silk flowers and marbles to show sign of his presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he'd gone up to he'd put a tree limb on top of my car one, the one visit, and I heard him say flower. So, I found it kind of funny. So it was the next visit, I'd held a flower in my hand, and I walked up to a tree, and I put my hand on a tree, and I held up the flower, and I said, this is a flower, tree, flower,
amazing.
Tree. And
amazing.
I showed them how to pronounce them properly and broke them into syllables, and he ended up using those two words, quite often. He just loved them.
That's so amazing. Let's go on to another one. We have three left. Let's go.
I just want to say something about the July 9th one where it says strange voice.
Yeah.
I believe there's a Sasquatch ET connection because of, just that evolved consciousness, right? That's, if you listen closely to this July 9th one, there's another, there's two voices. There's a Sasquatch speaking, and there's this sort of electronic sound vocalizing at the same time. And I don't think that's a Sasquatch at all. And if you listen kind of halfway through, the Sasquatch gives a kind of a little chuckle. So it's kind of funny. He goes, so
okay,
if you want
right.
to play that one.
Yeah, okay, let's play that. It's Eric is the one, July 9th, Strange Voice. This is number 7.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Huh, interesting. How about let's go on to the July 5th, number 2 voices.
An older male and a young female speaking simultaneously.
Amazing. Okay, and the last one, I've got Teta Outda. If we could play that, Eric. Thank you.
Go! 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 Teta Outda!
A Teta Out, is that his name? Is he saying
something? No. What was actually going on there was I had audio running through the sunroof in my vehicle, and there's a little a windsock over top, a foam windsock, and one of them was playing with it. I've cut that part out. I just took a little segment of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were playing with it, and that's Nefertia, and it's almost like he's giving his sibling crap. maybe for messing with the gear. I don't know, but there's more that goes along with that. I just kind of, took little pieces out. I just want to say, too, that, anybody listening, if they want to hear more, Sasquatch Ontario on YouTube, I have several dozen videos there, and there's just a plethora of vocalizations documented throughout those videos.
Oh, how fun. How fun. Great. Well, in fairness to John, I want to go back to you now and play these audios, and then I'll go to back to Mike and Leanne. Anyway, John, continue, please, with your story.
Oh, goodness. I don't even know where to start again.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, guys, it's simple. It's simple here. Long story short is they're asking us to connect with our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, our species is knowledge full and wisdom short.
Right.
Long story short, they've shown me breath of light, mm-hmm. and breathing this beautiful light of spirit into our body and building it, and from mm-hmm. there expanding our consciousness and acting accordingly.
Beautiful.
But yeah, my experiences have gone again, in a way that I had no idea of any of this was gonna take the route it did. But
sure.
Either way, I can't deny it. And the reason why I reached out to Mike Patterson, it was around June or July last year, was because I was hearing the same sort of vocals in the woods, solo camping, and I thought I was the only one until I came across Mike's work here, and I thought I'd reach out to him and just, you know, spill my heart out on this, because I've kept all this very close to me. So
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I think I'll open up.
I just want to say one thing. I've taken John into my location as well. Mm-hmm. Like Leanne's had an invite, she just hasn't made it yet. But John has come in with me, and he's had some experiences there. So we've gone in there a couple times together.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I want us to keep talking, but I'm going to open up the phone lines now to anyone who's had an experience with Sasquatch. You're welcome to call in. Our phone number here is 425-373-5527. That's here in the United States. Area code 425-373-5527. And if you're in Western Washington, we have a toll-free number at 1-888-298-KKNW or 5569. That number again is 1-888-298-5569. You can also send me an email. I have my email up and running now, and I could answer, read your question on the air too. To outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. That's outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Leanne, I want to go back to our discussion of structures. And to let people know, we talked about this earlier, that these rock piles are actually from the Sasquatch. And if you see them there, that's where they're from. I was in an area of the Cascades around Cle Elum about 2 years, a little more than 2 years ago now, when I was hiking. And I saw this rock pile going into their territory, and this friend of mine and I went hiking one day. It was a beautiful day. It was in the fall in September, and I noticed that what they did is that they had made arrows with sticks, and they did it because the trail wasn't well demarked, and they wanted to make sure we didn't get lost. That was the message I got from them, and so we walked up to the top of this cliff and came back, and as I was coming back, I looked off to the right. And I could sense they were looking at us from another dimension. You couldn't see it in the third dimension. I could feel their presence, and they were up on this ridge just looking at us. And I said, "Hey, we're benevolent. We're not going to harm you. We're interested in contact, and we're sending you lots of love and light." And they left us alone. They were very polite, and but I could tell they were curious about us. But we meant no harm at all to them. So
that's beautiful. Well, I'm really glad you had that experience.
Oh yeah, yeah. They said. Since that time, I've been able to communicate telepathically with them. And often when I'm driving around the Seattle, Olympia, Tacoma area, I can tell how far they are away. Usually they don't like to come into city areas. Sometimes they do, but usually they like to stay away. You never know. They're more comfortable in the woods around here. Like I'm getting a message now. There are some about 10 miles away close to North Bend now that I'm getting. That's the area where they are. It's a wooded area. But do you get that as well? Are you able to communicate telepathically with them where you live now?
Well, yes. I feel that I have been over the past few years, ever since I became really hooked into finding structures, that my heart and my intuition has been really pulled in directions to places I've never been before. And it's been really a passion of love, and I knew, and I've been, you know, in contact with John and Mike throughout this experience. When I'm out looking for structures and I find them, I feel like, you know, that there is a tug to this region for me to go to. And something that I've learned over photographing and documenting these structures over the years is that where Sasquatch are really active, structures are constantly being tinkered with. They are being changed. Small changes happen, maybe not overt to the average passerby, but when you're photographing them and documenting them, you notice them. Sometimes they change really hugely, you know, there's a big back room added on. Sometimes they are completely dismantled. Sometimes they disappear completely. Every piece of wood is just gone. It's not that they're knocked down. They're they're take every piece of wood is taken away,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they're rebuilt in a different location nearby,
mm-hmm.
Which also begs so many questions unto itself. Through my research, I've been picking up in these clues and a few other things that I've been noticing, and as our other researchers around the world are researching or are finding, is that often in Sasquatch creations, old glass, old bottles, old pieces of glass are found for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe glass has a certain property
mm-hmm.
that they just love,
mm-hmm.
and the color blue continues to show up, whether
really?
It be blue glass,
uh-huh.
blue mylar balloons, blue latex balloons,
uh-huh. wow.
bits of blue garbage,
uh-huh.
like whatever it may be, but this bright blue is a phenomenon. It's real,
wow.
it's tangible, and people are
uh-huh.
connecting this color, you know, from around the world and making
wow.
these connections, which is,
wow.
is, you know, amazing.
Wow.
So, and another thing that I've learned is that I'm finding many of these structures along rivers. So whatever reason, the element of water, the element of moving water, the energy of moving water, it seems to be an important feature where these structures show up,
mm-hmm.
whether they use the rivers for navigation, whether they
mm-hmm.
use them for whatever purpose, or whether they mm-hmm. just like to be near them, whether, again, I have no answers, but I find most of my structures near rivers and creeks,
mm-hmm.
moving water, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been on the trail of these of some rivers where I'm finding structures, and I keep walking and exploring and finding more and more and more and more,
mm-hmm.
You know, no matter which direction I go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally came to a confluence of a couple of rivers
mm-hmm.
where I've been documenting structures for the past couple of years. And collectively, if I combine all the creeks and river arms that combine to this one big river, I probably found 150 structures or so, like really substantial structures.
Wow.
And where they converge, I found this past summer, this past September, 6 beautiful, complicated, tall, strong rock cairns
hmm.
that are all circular, that are solid all the way through. And I know this because one of them had the top accident, I don't know how, kind of knocked off, but you could see that the entire interior were rocks collected and balanced and perfectly assembled. And something else I've learned from studying their structures is that Sasquatch are master builders. They are master architects, mathematicians. They know how to balance. They know how to collect. They know exactly where to place things
mm-hmm.
for other things to balance on.
Mm.
And these rock cairns blow my mind. But besides that, so, you know, I found them, and like anybody, like I did my early structures, I thought, you know, they must have just been built.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I came back the next day, and I found subtle changes in a few of the stones. Like I do structures, they will twist a branch, they'll move a branch, they'll move a rock, they'll move
right.
an, like, they're very clever in how they teach. And I began documenting these slight and subtle changes. Also, all combined throughout these rock cairns are glass, old glass.
Hmm.
You can see are pressed, are thick, are uneven,
mm-hmm.
and they're wedged in between all of these stones.
Mm-hmm.
There's also blue little trinkets collected from who knows where. And I know that Sasquatch are collectors. They will find fascinating, curious things, and they'll hold on to them, and then they'll bring them out sometimes. They'll add them to their structures.
Mm-hmm.
And and so these trinkets weren't there, you know, the week before, and then I'll go back and I'll find these trinkets kind of shoved in between these rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So these rock cairns continue to change, like stick structures continue to change. And I find it fascinating because they're found at the center of these major rivers that where I've been finding all this activity and doing audio and capturing Sasquatch activity. And it makes me wonder if, once again, because they're master teachers as well,
mm-hmm.
this is another lesson that they not only built with wood, but they built with stone. Because there's nobody else around. Like in fact, one day I was walking out of this forest. It's way off the path, and I found this random mountain biker, and I said to him, "Have you seen the rock cairns in there? About 100 meters, up, in there."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Yeah, I bike here every day. I've never seen them."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, what do you mean you've never seen them? Like, mm-hmm. they're right in there." He's like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Mm-hmm.
And it also awakened me or reminded me of, I think, part of the reality that so many people walk around looking around, but they're not always using their eyes.
Sure.
And they're hiding in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
Sasquatch presence is hiding in plain sight.
Sure.
For people. And people can walk by them and either see them or not see them.
Right.
But hopefully, and I think Sasquatch are begging people to start to see them and
right.
start to have these conversations. Like, who built these?
Right.
Where do these come from?
Mm-hmm.
Why are these here?
Right.
And just to finish off the story, I'm sorry it's taking so long.
It's okay.
The culmination was I took my daughter there one day who's really into Sasquatch like I am.
Mm-hmm.
She loves them. And I'd been there 2 days before. I came back 2 days later. And not only was one cairn that had the top kind of knocked off, completely rebuilt, every tiny piece of gravel and stone had been reassembled and built to an immaculate peak of this cairn.
Hmm.
They had also built a triangular based pyramid out of hollow reeds. And because there's a wetland right nearby,
mm-hmm.
and every piece had been snapped and had been woven and crisscrossed exactly how wood structures are,
mm-hmm.
are formed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were right next to the rock cairns.
Wow.
So one was rebuilt, and they built us a reed structure about 6.5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the clearest message to me that they were aware that we were consciously engaging with them,
wow.
watching them, observing them. And that keeps coming back. And I talk about this. We talk about this with John and Mike. Like, the more attention we give them, and the mm-hmm. more attention that we are actively engaging in, the more that they respond.
Right.
They know our thoughts. They know what we're talking about. They know our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They know our heart's desire. They know our intention. They know mm-hmm. our soul intention.
Wow.
They know that we want to learn and yearn and desire to learn. We're watching. We're asking for more.
Mm-hmm.
We are asking for lessons. And they respond in kind by building for us,
huh.
by changing things for us right before our eyes.
Interesting.
Almost.
Wow.
And it's profound.
Uh-huh.
And it's just time and time again, paradigms have been shifted, but things continue to expand, and I continue to feel, wow, they just taught me something new. They just taught me something new.
Wow. That's so beautiful. You said it very eloquently, Leanne. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Mike, I want to bring you back in. What I'd love to give you some, please share some more stories with us.
Sure. I actually, I think John, because he really has some great experiences as well. He hasn't had much time to convey much of his stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that I'd really love to hear from John, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead, John. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. I'm here. Mike.
I like to put John on the spot. That's all,
Mike's pushing me to speak about this, by the way, because, again, I've kept this all very close to myself. All right. I mean, I can tell you about one experience I had winter camping that completely threw me into the deep end of the pool in regards to their abilities. I was up Northern Ontario with my brother and my dog Elvis there. Mm-hmm. This was November 2013. So I was out fishing in the canoe, and my brother was about a click and a half away from me in the bush chopping some wood to mm-hmm. get the winter stove going.
Uh-huh.
And I all of a sudden had a Sasquatch vocalize at me.
This was a scream I have never heard before in my life. It was a little bit terrifying. Mm-hmm. It was longer than I've heard even Pavarotti or anyone I've ever heard vocalize. I mean, this came from some huge human, but it was just absolutely riveting and terrifying and exciting all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Ended up going back to the tent, and it was getting dark. It was our last night. We had spent a week in the bush, and again, middle of nowhere. We don't do the official park thing. It's all public land or crown land is what we call it up here. And last night, we had a couple of glow sticks left. So I was like, hey, brother, let's go out and swing some of these glow sticks. So we popped some glow sticks and tied them to a string. And my brother was out swinging them, you know, just furiously. And we're taking photos of the cool lights out. And it was an extremely dark night that night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're my brother's swinging these multicolored glow sticks. And I have this feeling, I'm very familiar now, of being stared at. Something is watching me.
Sure, I felt that before. Yeah.
Oh, Ted, it's a tangible, visceral feeling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah, definitely.
You can feel it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I turn my headlamp on and turn around, and to my absolute shock and amazement, I see two eyes, yellow, glowing, like there was a light coming out of these eyes, but two eyes, just two eyes,
amazing,
looking at me from about 5-8 feet away. It was down close to the ground, like it was sprawled out, but these were big eyes. These were human eyes. They didn't have, you know, cat pupils or anything. These were human. If I had to equate it to anything, you'd assume they would have come out of a Neanderthal skull, just the large, much rounder than our eyes and much larger. So I turn around and I'm staring into these yellow eyes, and I'm just in shock for the first couple of seconds. After I realize what I'm looking at, my eyes get wider, like, oh my goodness, what am I even looking at right now?
Right.
And as I'm sort of going into shock a little bit, I see these yellow eyes also open up as in like, oh my gosh, he sees me kind of thing. And instantly, he or she turned. But guys, I tell you what, when, I don't know if it was a male or a female, but when he or she turned, it was unbelievable, because I could see, because of the shine of my headlamp, just the outline of his or her body in shimmering light, just this translucent light. Like I could see every single hair as again, he or she turned. And ran off into the bush there. But I mean, it was just absolutely wild. And it was very hard to come to terms with, especially when you haven't experienced anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
I ended up jumping up and into my brother's arms, and he was like, what the heck? What's the matter? And I said, I just saw something. I just saw something.
Yeah. I think I think your dog Elvis had the same experience. Actually,
I'm going to be honest with you. With Elvis, he is a very brave dog and very protective. Not much spooks him. So when I came back again, that was in 2012. When I came back that day, he was just completely spooked. And then, I'm pretty sure we had a big fella come up to my camp and open my bag and leave me a weave in my backpack. But unbelievable. Yeah, back to 2013, just quickly, I mean, I jumped up into my brother's arms, and he was like, what did you see? What happened? So nothing. I completely just kind of shut down a little bit.
Wow.
We went inside the tent, and I had an urge afterwards to just go sit outside and look at the stars. And this was late night on our last night, and I ended up hearing two of them talking to each other. It sounded to me very similar to Mike's recording you played previously. It sounded like an older male, very deep and raspy voice, speaking with a younger one who was just chattering away. But unbelievable. It sounded like a mix of Ojibwe and something out of Lord of the Rings. Very, very interesting. And definitely language. I was listening to them for about 5-6 minutes. And they were on a ridge to my east. just sitting and, I guess, observing us.
Have you talked to any Native Americans, First Nations people, about what their experiences? I'm sure they would have a lot to tell you.
Very, Ted, great question, by the way. To be honest with you, a couple of months after that, I was actually giving a hitchhiker a ride.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned out to be a First Nations man.
Okay.
And I had to ask him about this, so
sure.
We started talking about this.
Uh-huh.
And he says, oh, in our tradition, they're very real. And
uh-huh.
He was telling me that they've been around before our people got here.
Mm-hmm.
And the language you heard was an extremely ancient language.
Mm-hmm.
And his great-grandmother had contact, apparently, with these forest people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, this is a really ancient language, and consider yourself lucky to have even heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to mention, too, John, Leanne, and myself, we're all very similar in our understanding of Sasquatch and their mm-hmm. abilities and their evolved consciousness. We're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're all well aware of this basically hidden truth that's now coming to light, you know, with many.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I mean, personally with me, it's... I've received what you call shamanistic experiences. I mean, I've these visions and these ultra vivid lucid dreams with a Sasquatch person talking to me and explaining things to me and
mm-hmm.
telling me to mm-hmm. build the light and shine and we love mm-hmm. you and your mm-hmm. people will know us soon and just fantastic. I mean, it's unreal, guys, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And if I may say, we've talked about this. Sasquatch are masters of understanding our innate nature, and they know how to best communicate with each of us in order to maximize the teaching for each of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, John, you meditate. You are the master of breathing and consciousness, and they are connecting with you through that means and medium, right? Through that channel.
Cool.
I love to be out with my camera and exploring. And I'm stumbling upon hundreds of structures, and that's how they're teaching me. And through audio, through Mike's help. And Mike, being Mike and the strong character that he is, has been given these extraordinary experiences because he has the fortitude and the courage and the strength to stand up and speak his truth to the world. And the message is getting out,
mm-hmm.
and that's beautiful. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Leanne, you're spot on.
Yes, right. They know exactly our soul strength, and they are really choosing how they teach us specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But where we meet in the center is a combined. Awareness. We find ourselves in the same place.
They give us what, again, just by my personal experiences, they give us what we can handle and what
right.
we are able to move forward with. So, I mean,
exactly.
Absolutely, I think we're all given glimpses into their world. And
yeah.
if we put it all together, and I'm sure there's many, many more people who've had experiences and,
right.
and like me, have been unwilling, I suppose, to speak publicly about it.
Mm-hmm.
But well, these are amazing people, and I'd also like to bring to light, I mean, we say they're interdimensional, and we're physical. I'd also like to note that we're also interdimensional beings.
Exactly.
We have abilities that we
exactly.
have long forgotten, everything from telepathy to remote viewing
yes.
to you name it. I mean,
yes.
we know the electromagnetic field of our heart extends 8 to 12 feet away from our bodies. So, I mean, we're touching distant
yes.
things with our hearts. There's no space between our hearts, and that's
right.
We're all the same.
Yeah,
right. And we have so many, and Ted, just for you to know, we, the three of us combined, have so many experiences with telepathic communication,
mm-hmm.
not just amongst
mm-hmm.
ourselves, but through Sasquatch in various ways. That we've got some stories where they knew, they anticipated where we were going and left us signs and were waiting for us to be there.
Sure.
So maybe that can be for another time.
Well, I think,
I think
as the planet goes up higher and higher in vibrations, friends, that the Sasquatch, you'll be seeing the Sasquatch more and more.
Right.
Yeah, that's the message I'm getting.
Ted, you're spot on. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's happening right now.
Sure.
It's happening right now, and it's so exciting. It's so beautiful.
They are revealing their existence to humanity at this time.
Every year I lead a group of people down to Mount Shasta. My next and when I was at Mount Shasta last September 2016, I had a lady there who was crippled. She'd been in a wheelchair or walked with a cane for decades. Anyway, she got there kind of late one night, and then she slept in her van. And at about 2 o'clock in the morning, she said she woke up. She's psychic, and she said she was surrounded by Sasquatch at this campsite on Mount Shasta. And she said the Sasquatch contacted her, and they said, "Would you like a healing?" And she said, "Oh, yes, that would be wonderful." So then a few minutes later, the top of her van opened up, and it became translucent. She could see this night sky with all the stars coming out. And an extraterrestrial craft from the Hollow Earth came, and it was from the Talosians, and a beam of light hit her. They brought her into the craft. They healed her legs. They put her back down into the van. She fell asleep. The next morning, she came running up to our campsite where we had breakfast, and she was so happy. And I said, "Well, why? What are you? I mean, it's good to be happy, but why are you happy?" And she said, "They healed me. They healed me." And I said, "They healed what?" She said, "My legs." She said, "See my wheelchair over there and my cane? I don't need it anymore. They've healed the Sasquatch and their ET friends healed my legs. I'm fine now." And that was an amazing experience, an amazing experience for her. There are Sasquatch, a lot of them down in the Mount Shasta area. And one thing they always ask me for are cinnamon rolls with white frosting. So I always leave a lot of cinnamon rolls. I try to get non-GMO, non-modified corn syrup, non-GMO. And they always, and I when I drop them off, they're always gone the next morning. And I visualize them, and I see these big I see their lips moving, and they have all this frosting everywhere, and they're saying thank you in this deep voice.
Love it.
It's just beautiful.
Ted, I can tell you what, that I mean, they are like us. They have their own personalities. They have their own preferences, their own likes, their own dislikes. I mean, unlike us, though, you know, 95% of these guys understand the rules of spirit and our true nature and our destiny.
Beautiful.
Unbelievable.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left, friends, and I want to give a minute to to John. Well, we're running out of time, but 30 seconds to John, 30 to Leanne, and 30 to Mike. So go ahead. Go ahead, John, you first.
Sure. I mean, if I have to leave you guys with anything for, I guess, my first time speaking publicly about this is their message of breath and breath of light. Sit quiet often, and I've been told many times to sit quiet, which is meditate, and breathe light, this beautiful light, into your body and build it. Breathe it into your heart, because that's where your soul sits. Connect your earth body to your light body. You'll be able to listen a lot better and go from there. But it's a beautiful message, and my heart shines to them. And I feel very humbled and privileged to even be able to speak about this. So thank you for having me on, by the way.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, John. That's beautiful. And Leanne, you're next.
I really feel, because my avenue has been primarily structures, is that they are wanting us to find each other, to connect, and to have these conversations. Wherever the conversation goes, they want us to ask big questions. Where are these coming from? Who is building these?
Right.
How are these happening? Why do these keep changing?
Right.
And then to connect these with people from around the world, it's a common awakening. It's an awakening en masse.
Wow.
And to feel the joy. I know my soul and heart is certainly being just cracked open, transformed in this journey of discovery.
Beautiful.
I can imagine it's happening to other people as well.
Yeah.
This is what they want us to do. This is what they want us. They want us to evolve and feel deeply and connect deeply and remember deeply and know deeply and be certain deeply.
Wonderful.
Of what we are seeing.
Thank you so much, Leanne, for sharing that.
Thanks
for coming on today. And Mike, I'll give you the rest of the time, which is not much, 20 seconds. So go ahead.
I know there's more and more people experiencing their abilities, and they're starting to see this, and they're having their you know, their paradigm shifted. It's an instant shift. And I understand there's a lot of fear surrounding that, and people fear speaking out because of ridicule
sure,
and that.
Sure.
But I just want people to understand that there are many out there who have the same experiences, and there's nothing
time.
To fear.
Okay.
And
thank you,
that's
Mike.
It.
Yeah, we're running out of time, my friend. I'm so sorry. Mike, Leanne, and John, thank you, all three of you, so much for coming on my show today. And for those going to Peru next month, I'm looking forward to seeing you all at the end, also at the Galactic Wisdom Conference in March in Olympia, Washington. I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend. Bye-bye, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.